All right, honey, I'm gonna call you out.
What?
Yeah, so you're on your third marriage, right?
Yeah, I am.
And you never really dated now, did you?
No.
Okay, so with the other guys, did you insist on them being Christian?
Yes.
Well, why was that important?
Because I'm a Christian.
And you identified as Christian with marriage one and marriage two?
Yes.
So how did you assess whether or not the guy was indeed Christian? How did you insist on that?
Oh, with the first marriage, it seemed like it was just a roller coaster. Everything went super, super quick. I just, to be honest, I don't even know if I think I did ask, but then I started to realize that I think nobody in his family was Christian.
Hmm.
So until later on, of course, some of them became more followers of Christ. But I mean, they did all the different things that non-Christians would do. Yeah.
So none of those gave you a concern or raised a red flag for you?
Well, see, what happened was the first marriage, we had knew each other so long.
Oh.
It was a point of knowing each other, but not being, it was more like a puppy love thing.
So you knew each other in the world, but you did not know each other in the church?
No.
I see.
Not at all.
And so you assumed that he was Christian?
I assumed that I could change him to become anything I wanted him to be. Okay. I was young and naive at that time. I thought you could take a person and just mold them into what you want them to be.
So it's not even that he misrepresented, it's just that you thought, hey, here's a fixer-upper.
Wow.
I'm going to do what I can do with this.
Sure. Just like you fix up a car. Yeah.
All right, so husband two, the first marriage didn't work out.
Oh, no.
And you're single again.
Yes.
And you meet husband number two.
Yes.
Did you feel that he had Christian values, that he was guided by Christian values?
I actually did, and we actually talked about it because I was like, okay, I could not take the first husband and mold him into what I wanted to mold him into. And, of course, it was a lot of issues in that marriage, a whole lot of issues.
Mm.
Yeah, then with the second marriage, it was more or less, what are your values? Yeah, I did ask that because I was definitely not going down that road of not being a Christian. And we did. We actually, for the longest time, we would go to church and we read the Bible and we did everything. And it was just kind of like one of those, I guess, where you could definitely say it's unequally yoked. And I have to say that, because it seemed like when he was, moving along on his Christian walk, I was not moving along as he was. And then when I was moving along on my Christian walk, he wasn't. So it was just, we never was actually on the same walk at the same time.
I see.
Yeah.
So why was it so important to you? Besides the fact that you're a Christian and you want to be married to a Christian, why was it important to you? Why did you think it was important?
Because I wanted to make sure that my kids were raised with the Christian values. I wanted all of us in the home. What is the saying? What is the one Bible verse? As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord.
I see.
Yes. So that was the reason for wanting all of us. Because when you don't have that, it's what they refer to as a house divided. Mm. It doesn't stand. So
the way I kind of look at things is that when you're both living life from the same rule book, then you know what they stand for, even when things are not going the way that you had hoped they would in a marriage.
Yeah.
Everyone's going to hit a rough time. Everyone hits those rough spots in their marriage. And when that happens, what are you going to lean on? Are you going to lean on the world and maybe be pulled out of the home? Or are you going to lean on God and the precepts that he set forward? And if I can look at my spouse and I can know, you and I are gonna make the same godly decisions.
Yes.
Because that's what we are devoted to.
Yes.
Then that brings a certain security and comfort to my marriage.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't give me full rein to just do whatever I want to, because that also would be ungodly on my part.
Mm-hmm.
But I do know that if I honestly mess up, if I make a mistake, that there is grace and forgiveness there. It's part of our relationship because it's part of each of our relationships with God.
This is true.
So there's a lot of people who will misrepresent what they follow. If I'm trying to date you, and I know that you love Christ and you want to make sure that I'm a Christ follower too, it's not difficult for me to say, oh yeah, I go to church. I might even go to church with you a few times just to show you that I'm down with that. But what does the Bible give us any guidance to help prevent against that kind of masquerade?
So 1 Corinthians 5:11, you are not to associate with anyone who claims to be a believer, yet indulges in sexual sin, or is greedy, or they worship idols, or is abusive, or is a drunkard, or cheats people. Don't even eat with such people.
Wow, so there's a lot of things packed up in that little verse right there.
It is.
It's a big verse with a few words.
Yes.
So I saw that your eyes kind of raised whenever you said, or is abusive.
Yes, because my first husband was abusive, very.
Now, the thing is, abuse is not just physical abuse.
Oh, no. You got emotional, you got verbal, you got physical. Yeah.
So in either of those two relationships, did you observe any form of abuse before the marriage?
Yes. The first husband, and I pretty much say I just walked into a brick wall. I'm just going to be honest and be honest even to the listeners. And reason why I say walked into a brick wall, incident happened. He, before us, of course, had a disagreement with the young lady. I thought it was the young lady's fault. Of course, again, young, naive, and not knowing any better, because knowing the person at the time, she seemed sometimes to be a little rough around the edges. So I'm like, I thought maybe it's something she might have said to him.
So you justified his actions based on her personality.
Yeah. And then got to know her, got to know the person, and wasn't that way at all. And it just didn't stop. Once we got to the relationship, of course, what they call the honeymoon, he would be okay, almost like a bipolar type of thing. One minute he was okay, next minute he was rage. Then the rage went to hitting and doing different stuff like that. And it just, I don't know. It just, I just end up seeing quite a bit. And then actually kind of seeing some of that in his family, abusive. So I'm thinking, this can't be. No, it couldn't be that it's hereditary. I'm hoping that abuse is not hereditary.
But you did see some of it before the marriage. But what about in marriage two? Did you observe any form of abuse?
None at all.
Okay.
And again, that was more or less because of, it wasn't a physical, again, it was, it was more of a emotional, verbal. But I had been so used to abuse for the first time, I didn't notice it the second.
Okay, so the verbal and emotional abuse that you witnessed in the second marriage, that came after you were married. It didn't happen during the courtship or dating period.
No.
So the 1 Corinthians 5:11 verse that you just mentioned, it tells you what to stay away from.
Yeah.
But is there any place that the Bible tells you what to gravitate towards?
Galatians 5:22 says, the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, and faithfulness.
So then we ask ourselves, and that's awesome, we ask ourselves, in the relationships that fell apart, the marriages that fell apart, did you observe these fruits in that person before you married? Did you even look for them?
Yeah. But again, it was some of the fruit, not all of it.
Sure.
Now, question is, does a person give you all of that?
See, it's not a matter of what they give to you.
Okay.
It's a matter of what they exude.
Do they exude all that?
Well, if they are indwelt by the Holy Spirit, yes. And that's part of the problem. You see, not all Christians will bear all of this fruit. Not all people who claim to be Christians, a better way to put it. Not everyone who claims to be a Christian will bear all of this fruit.
Okay.
There are many people who say, yes, I am a Christian, but I just have a little problem with faithfulness. Well, you don't have all the fruit. And someone who says, you know what, I am a Christian, but I'm going to pick a fight with you every chance that I get. That goes against having peace. Some people are just they can be mean, mean-spirited. They can claim to be Christian, and it's not that they aren't Christian, they are still believers, and they are following the word, but they have a mean spirit about them, which it just indicates that there's more work for the spirit to do on their spirit. So as we take a look at these things, I mean, the Bible has given us things to stay away from,
yeah,
and things to gravitate towards.
Yes.
But here's the rub.
What's the rub?
Any of these fruits and all the red flags that we mentioned above, they can all be faked or suppressed for a while at the beginning of a relationship.
Mm-hmm.
Now, people are on their best behavior, like, you know, being on an extended interview. You know, nobody tells you in the interview, hey, you know what? I've got a problem with getting to work on time and I ask for a lot of days off. Will that be a problem? No one goes into the interview saying these things. But then again, on the first week of your job, you get up first thing in the morning and you're thinking, oh, I can't be late, it's my first day, it's my first week on the job. But then 6 months later, you're having trouble getting out of bed in the morning because you partied too hard over the weekend, or you traveled, or you just stayed up late binging on Netflix, and oh, maybe I'll just call in sick today. But that's not how you were acting at the very beginning of your employment. We do our relationships the same way. At the very beginning of the relationship, we are on our best behavior. And it's not that you're being deceptive, it's just that you're not comfortable enough. You're not comfortable enough yet to let your true self show. So it takes time. It takes time to see your love interests for as they really are.
Wow.
I know for me, I can be blinded by infatuation for a good 5 or 6 months of a relationship. Mm. And it's usually at that 6 month point that I'll start to see who I'm dating for who they really are. And that's why at the beginning, I know for you and I, by the time we were 3 months in, you were asking me like, when are you gonna ask me to marry you? What? And I kept saying to you, 7 months. I'm not gonna even talk about this for 7 months. So the reason for that is because I knew that I needed, from my personal experience, I knew that I needed that 6 or 7 month window to be able to see you as you truly are. And once I could see that, then I could make a sincere marriage proposal to you. Not one that's based on infatuation, not one that's based on brain chemicals just working with my heart. I can make a proposal that's based on the substance of your character and my heart and your heart, my spirit and your spirit aligned. It takes time. It takes that time to see who each other really are. As I mentioned, for me, it took months. And it could take months for someone to show their true self. Now, sure, you could get lucky, and without taking this time of precaution, just end up with someone who works well with you, who you're quite well aligned with. I'm not saying it doesn't work otherwise. However, misfiring your affections on the wrong person could have such dire consequences. Why take the risk? Now, if you were meant to be together for a lifetime, take a few months and ensure that. If you were meant to be together, neither one of you is going to go away. You're not missing out on an opportunity by waiting. However, you could be overlooking some critical items if you jump into things too quickly and too soon. If you take well-planned steps to find true love, you can find love that will last a lifetime. I can't stress it enough. Without the 5 steps to find true love, you're playing roulette with your love life. Sure, you can win, but is the risk worth it? Being whisked away in love sounds so romantic until you end up in a place that you never wanted to be. If you've been hurt, the Hope and Healing module will help you reset your mindset, and then you'll see how to listen to and trust God to find the love of your life. So check it out at hope.stepstofindtruelove.com.